Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to take time out once again to thank you for you taking time out of your busy life today to join me on my radio program. Today is Thursday, September 16th, 2021. I'm continuing my rich and informative study of the Ten Commandments today on the Thursday edition of The Cross in the Desert. We have been going through God's law, the perfect remedy for our society of chaos, our society of violence and murder. And in fact, today's topic, today's commandment, the Sixth Commandment, is all about that commandment about the sacredness of life. Thou shall not kill, you shall not murder. Commandment number 6. Well, it doesn't take very long to look all around you. When you watch the news every day, when you read a story on the internet, it's all about the taking of innocent human life, the murder of innocent human beings, how we treat humanity like garbage in the name of anger and violence and revenge. And yet there it is, right there in front of our eyes. Commandment number 6 says, you shall not murder. I want us to take a very close look at the ramifications of this commandment, the meaning of it, what is going on here. We're going to talk about some issues dealing with the subject of murder. But simply stated, the 6th of the Ten Commandments forbids the unjustified killing or taking of a human life. However, the commandment itself has a couple of interesting elements that is worth mentioning. First and foremost, different Bible translations gives the appearance of different meanings. And there is potential here for misunderstanding the actual meaning of this verse. That's the first thing I want to talk about. Second, man was never created of murdering another, and there needs to be an explanation for such a violent and final act towards another human being. That's number 2. Third, because of the translational challenge, we need to understand the difference between murder and killing. Because in the King James Version, thou shall not kill, there's going to be some misunderstanding there if we don't differentiate between the act of murder and the act of killing. And last but not least, how does God view murder? To God, murder is not just the physical act in nature, but also the condition of one's heart towards another. There are two different Hebrew words, ratska, and two Greek words, phanuio, apokatino, for murder and killing. One means to, quote, to put to death, and the other means to murder. The latter one is the one that's prohibited by the Ten Commandments, but not the former. In fact, ratska has a broader definition than the English word murder. Ratska also covers deaths due to carelessness or neglect, but is never used when describing killing during wartime. And you'll understand that right away. We had many conscientious objectors who took the Sixth Commandment to mean it's never justified in killing another human being. But we have to look at the meaning of the words killing and murder. That is why most modern translations render the Sixth Commandment, you shall not murder, rather than you shall not kill. However, a very large issue can arise depending on which translation is used. The ever-popular King James Version renders the verse, as I've said, thou shall not kill, and that opens the door to misinterpreting the verse altogether. If the intended meaning of thou shall not kill was just that, no killing, it would render all of the God-endorsed bloodletting done by the nation of Israel as a violation of God's own commandment. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy 20. But God does not break his own commandments. So clearly, the verse does not call for a complete moratorium on the taking of another human life. This is very important that we understand that. Why does man murder? We know that, of course, we're created in God's image, Genesis 1:27. And we were made to live in harmony with God and our fellow man. I think we understand that. That's the original intent. The harmony, though, became impossible once sin entered into the picture. Paradise became a scene of chaos and eventually homicide. That's in Genesis chapter 3. When sin came, the propensity for acting violent against one another also came. Anger, jealousy, pride, hatred can fuel man's evil bent toward life, ending aggression. The first recorded act of murder was when Cain killed his brother Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. From that moment on, taking the life of another has been commonplace, and in some circles of society, acceptable. However, to God, every life is sacred or important. And since God knew that man was sinful and evil and became lawless, he enacted guidelines that would seek to modify man's behavior. So there is a difference, or I should ask the question, is there a difference between murder and killing? Okay. First, it's important to note that not all killing is wrong. For instance, the Apostle Paul talks about the right of the state to take the lives of evildoers. We can read that famous chapter about government in Romans 13. This relates to what is commonly referred to as capital punishment. Most countries have consequences for murder. In some cases, this requires the life of the perpetrator, and a suitable means of putting one to death is chosen and administered. We can read about that. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 5:21. It's in the Old Testament, Exodus 21, verse 14. Another instance of acceptable killing is that which is done during times of war and at the command of superiors. And of course, there were quite a few instances in Scripture where God endorsed and allowed the taking of others' lives. You can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 11, in Judges chapter 6 through 7. And finally, although far from acceptable, manslaughter is yet another form of killing someone. This unintentional act apparently happened so often in biblical times that cities of refuge were designated for manslayers to seek refuge in. And that's Exodus chapter 21, verse 13. You can read it there. Again, it was never God's intent to have to use such a drastic measure as taking one's life to rectify a situation. So God does make exceptions for the taking of another's life as long as it lines up with his will. However, and this is where it goes from killing to murder, however, premeditated murder of an individual is never God's will. So what is murder in God's eyes? From the human perspective, murder is the physical act of taking another's life. However, and here's the important point, we also must consider that God defines murder as any thought or feeling of deep-seated hatred or malice against another person. In other words, it is more than just a physical act that constitutes a murder to God, who tells us, quote, that everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, 1 John 3:15. When we harbor hatred in our hearts for one another, we have committed the sin of murder in God's eyes. The disdain toward another person never has to be demonstrated outwardly because God looks upon the heart for the truth. So as Christians and as human beings, we know that unjustified killing is wrong. God's word is very clear on this point. You shall not murder. And what God says, we must obey, or we face the consequences on Judgment Day. Now, in all of this, I want to just for a moment pause and tell you that abortion, the premeditated taking of a baby's life in the mother's womb for conveniences on the altar of convenience, is murder. I understand there are other situations like rape that can come up and can be a justified means of aborting that baby, although I believe, why not punish the rapist, not the baby? There are many women who have chosen, in the case of rape, which is rare, to have the child, and that child has grown up to be a very productive, beautiful human being. So while there are circumstances that can be difficult choices and may not be considered murder in an aborted state, but simply stated, the killing of an unborn infant in the womb of a mother because of convenience sake is murder. And I stand pro-life against all forms of the innocent taking of a human life. Now, with that said, there is a question that's often raised. Well, now, wait a minute. Thou shalt not murder, but does God killing people make him a murderer? Because the Old Testament records God killing multitudes of people. And some people want to believe this makes him a murderer, and that's a horrible horrible accusation. But the misconception that killing and murder are synonymous is partially, again, based on the King James mistranslation of the Sixth Commandment, which reads, thou shall not kill. We've talked about that. However, the word kill is the translation of the Hebrew word rachashk, which nearly always refers to intentional killing without cause. The correct rendering of this word, again, is murder. And all modern translations render the command as you shall not murder. The Bible in basic English best conveys its meaning. Do not put anyone to death without a cause. It is true that God has intentionally killed many people. In fact, the Bible records that he literally wiped out entire nations, including women, children, cattle. In addition to that, God killed every living creature upon the face of the earth, with the exception of any animals on the ark, Noah's family. So again, the unbeliever, the skeptic, the critic says, does this make him a murderer? But as already stated, to kill and murder are two different things. Murder is the premeditated, unlawful taking of the life of a human being, whereas killing is more generally just the taking of a life. The same law that forbids murder permits killing in self-defense, Exodus 22, verse 2. In order for God to commit murder, he would have to act unlawfully. What we recognize that God is God, his works are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he, Deuteronomy 32, 4. He created man and expects obedience. When man takes it upon himself to disobey God, he faces God's wrath. But furthermore, God is a just judge, and God is angry, the Bible says, with the wicked every day. If man does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends low and makes it ready, Psalm 7. Some would argue that executing the innocent is murder. Thus, when God wipes out whole cities, he is committing murder. However, nowhere in Scripture can we find where God killed innocent people. In fact, compared to God's holiness, there really is no such thing as an innocent person. We say it, we should be able to clarify it, because the Bible says all have sinned. And the penalty for sin is death. God has just cause, because of his holiness, to wipe us all out. In fact, the fact that he does it is proof of his mercy. When God chose to destroy all humankind in the flood, he was totally justified in doing so. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of their hearts were only evil continually, Genesis 6:5. During the conquest of Canaan, God ordered the complete destruction of entire cities and nations, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, just as the Lord your God has commanded you. And Joshua did what God commanded. Why did God give such a command? Israel was God's judgment, instrument of judgment he used against the Canaanites, who were evil, almost beyond what we can imagine today. Every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughter in the fire to their gods. They were abominable in their... And the fact is, God was patient with them for many generations. But the wrath came to the top of the cup. The utter annihilation did by God through Israel, commanded to prevent Israel from following their ways. And that was the reason why. Even in the dire judgments of the Old Testament, God offered mercy. For example, when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God promised Abraham that he would spare the whole city in order to save 10 righteous people there. Though God did destroy these cities and 10 righteous people could not be found, he saved righteous Lot and his family. Later, God destroyed Jericho, but he saved Rahab the harlot and her family in response to her faith until the final judgment. There is always mercy to be found. Every person dies in God's own time. Jesus holds the keys of death. Does the fact that everyone experiences physical death make God a killer? In the sense that he could prevent all death, yes, he allows us to die, but he is no murderer. Death is a part of the human experience because we brought it into the world ourselves through sin. One day, as John Donne put it, death shall be no more, death thou shalt die. God in his grace has conquered death for those who are in Christ, and one day the truth will be finally realized. The last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. So I hope that answers maybe some of your questions you might have about the sixth commandment and murder versus killing, and the fact that God has visited many nations and cities with judgment does not make him a murderer when we look at things carefully from his viewpoint to his character of holiness. I hope that's helped you. Right now, I want to take a couple of minutes to play a very beautiful song, in tribute to the unjustified killing of the unborn. It's a great song by Phil Cavey with a great message. This is Little Ones. That is the master musician himself, Phil Keaggy from Flipside, many years ago. But a song that he felt very compelled to write when he was witnessing, I would imagine, some of the early stages of the abortion law as it was enacted. And he felt that he had the opportunity as a musician with a platform, that he had the responsibility to speak up. It's been a song that has been just used by many, many pro-life groups. It's an amazingly, beautifully constructed, written song with such a powerful message. Speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, Proverbs 31 says. I love this verse. I use this verse in all of my witnessing and teaching when I speak up for my Iranian friends. But think about it. The unborn don't have a voice unless they have our voice. And if we sit by and allow the unjust killing of a child in the mother's womb, except for dire circumstances, if we see people using their freedoms to hurt and destroy the product of a union like that, unless it's for absolutely very, very serious reasons, it is murder. And that we need to speak up and to be a voice for the unborn. 66 million children have been murdered since Roe versus Wade. That's 48 years ago. That is genocide. It is awful. But we've been looking today at the sixth commandment. We distinguished between thou shalt not kill in the King James and in the more modern translation, ESV, NIV, you shall not murder. And we distinguished the differences. There are occasions like a just war where although we never want to have to kill, but it is allowed and permitted. And we notice that the word kill is different than premeditated murder for an unjust cause simply because of jealousy and anger. And that, of course, is completely wrong. And understanding when God kills and brings judgment, he's not breaking his own commandment. We've looked at that very carefully, and we've discovered the holiness of God's law. We've discovered that this sixth commandment goes right to our hearts. When we say, I could just kill you, or we say something in anger like that, or I hate my brother and I want to do harm to him, according to God's word, we have in our own hearts murdered our brother, even though we physically didn't do it. But that's how deep the intent of the law goes, right to our hearts. I hope that you're benefiting from these studies today. We're going to continue. We're going to start the seventh commandment next week, but these are important studies. I hope that you will share them with your friends on your Facebook page. So I want you to have a good, a safe, a blessed weekend. Stay safe, keep healthy, enjoy the day, and I will see you right here back again on the Cross in the Desert on Monday at 9:30 a.m. God bless you.